hosted by Jason Bryan and providing the latest insights on telecoms trends from around the world. This is Rocco Radio.
Welcome to Eureka, the podcast from Rocco Radio that untangles the wires and dives deep into the heart of the ever-evolving telecoms industry, focused on innovation. I'm your host, Jason Bryan, and I'm here to bring you the hottest trends, the insider insights, and most importantly, the interviews with the winners of the Innovators 2023 and the Genesis and Roaming and Messaging Hackathons. Whether you're a tech enthusiast, a business leader, or just curious about how innovation is developing in our industry, this series is for you. You can also check out the fifth issue of Rocco Genesis magazine, available at leading industry events and online for all the interviews and other industry news. Listen out at the end of this podcast for how to register for the Innovators and Hackathons 2024, the results of which will be presented next May at the Genesis event in Seville, Spain. In this podcast, we hear from Celesis, who came in first place in the Genesis Roaming Hackathon 2023. Let's have a listen to how they won and what they thought of the experience.
As we know, roaming testing has been done since the beginning the same way. And essentially, we're an engineering company. So if we do the same process over and over, we need to find a way to automate it. And that's what Roambot is about.
Going to Genesis and presenting, getting feedback from the audience, it really gave us great validation for the approach we take. We were really delighted with the positive engagement, the sense of viability we got from the industry. The buzz you mentioned was there as well. And again, winning both, especially in two diverse areas, we were very proud of.
It's a real pleasure to be here with Daniel and Charles from Celesis. Hello, guys.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Great to have you guys here. Before we start anything, because we have a very exciting list of questions for you today, and you guys have been doing, frankly, amazing work in the innovation space. And we're going to talk about that and go through that in this podcast today. Before we get on to that, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. I'll start. So my name is Daniel McTague. I'm CTO for Celesis. I'm responsible for the creation of the company's products, including steering of roaming, security, and analytics, which are products that do repeatedly get highly rated in independent reports. So my main job day to day is to try and innovate and evolve the products to try and maintain our position in the market.
Thank you, Daniel.
My name is Charles Bernard. I'm product manager at Celesis. My main role is to follow the market evolution of the product and what our customer wants or needs. In this hackathon, my role has not been to be about what customer wanted, but to imagine what we should bring to the market as an innovative solution to solve the problem that was proposed to us.
Yeah, you guys did really a very, very good job of that. I think it was for us, as Rocco, the first time we thought of doing a hackathon. And you're always hoping that there's companies out there who, despite not having a product or service, kind of take a leap of faith and come up with a solution which really meets the requirement and gets the whole industry, I think, buzzing about the possibilities. And I think that you guys have had a long history of doing that. In fact, I remember the very first innovation report that we did in 2016 from Rocco. Celesis were in the number one spot of all the vendors across the industry, and of which there are at least 40 appearing in that report. And so that was a very good sign that you have an innovation culture in your company. And of course, this year in this hackathon, you were ranked number one in the roaming hackathon and also the messaging hackathon, which really demonstrates a lot of,
I think the key difference in the way that you guys think about things. Very impressive. What was the feeling and reaction to this?
Yeah, we were, to win Boat, we were very proud. I mean, anybody who's ever listened to us speak, we would always describe ourselves as an engineering company, but we're selling products that are very long established. I think it's very easy to have a very polished pitch, a very convincing argument for a 10-year-old product. I think it was a real challenge for us. You know, we say we're engineering focused, we're solution focused. So this challenge was really great for us to try and demonstrate that. We had a very short time window. We don't have an out of the box product ready to go for this. So it was a really good challenge and we were just very proud to win Boat. And even then, you know, going to Genesis and presenting, getting feedback from the audience, it really gave us great validation for the approach we take. We were really delighted with the positive engagement, the sense of viability we got from the industry. The buzz you mentioned was there as well. And again, winning Boat, especially in two diverse areas, we were very proud of. And probably for internal peace in the company, that was important. When we got shortlisted for Boat, we had two separate teams working Boat solutions. So there was a kind of internal rivalry building. And Peter Morgan, our head of pre-sales, was in charge of the other team. And he would have been very, very hard to deal with on a daily basis had we been outperformed. So we were quite relieved to come out on top.
Clearly, you took it very seriously and very professionally, I have to say. And this is exactly what we kind of wanted to do with this project, is to stimulate companies to think out of the box and to look at, although it's very short notice, I mean, because this year's hackathon was really organized at the beginning of the year. You guys were, well, clearly impressive in responding to it. Could you explain to us about the solution which you proposed to this requirement?
Yes. So essentially, the solution was to overcome the problems we face when we do roaming testing. As we know, roaming testing has been done for since the beginning the same way. And essentially, we are an engineering company. So if we do the same process over and over, we need to find a way to automate it. And that's what Roambot is about. Is a solution to automate the whole process of roaming testing or as much as we can do. Essentially, it leverages the APIs that are implemented into mobile networks and roaming testing probe, remote testing probes that would be used to perform the IREC test. So essentially, the APIs, they're being used by Roambot to do the data configuration of the network and the SIM cards to be tested with. Instead of sending that to someone, it directly sends it to the network and asks the network to do it. The same it will be also, it will fetch TAP files once the tests are being performed, or it will also assist for the command test. And the remote testing probe are there to perform and execute the IREC test themselves on both sides, the VPMN and home PMN. And essentially, Roambot will orchestrate those two, say, technologies, the APIs in this remote testing probe to roll out the roaming test end to end. So with that, there is no more waiting of an IREC counterpart to perform or execute the test. And there's no more waiting of the TADI counterpart to provide the TAP files. The Roambot can directly fetch the TAP file via the API and will, by its automation, perform the TADI validation on its own. So really, we took the bold approach of deconstructing the whole process of testing. And everywhere we thought it was possible, even though people will say, it would be complex to do an API. It's just like, no, this is what we're going to propose. We're going to be bold and propose automation as much as we can.
And this is such a crucial thing for operators. Clearly, I grew up in the roaming industry, kind of knowing that testing for roaming solutions, and that was at the very start, 2G, 2.5G was complex. It was time consuming. It was repetitive. And it was something which you had to often wait so long for the other roaming partners to get their chance, their opportunity to do that testing as well, because you had to schedule it all. This for me is really a revolution in that space. But one question, do you need that everybody's on board for the solution to be effective?
I mean, ideally, yes, in the sense that if both roaming partners onboarded with Roambot, it will be much faster because Roambot will talk to Roambot in a sense that it will send requests to the API of the home PMN and API of the VPMN and vice versa and request both probes to do the test. But even if one operator is the member, it's already beneficial for that specific operator. That will reduce the dependencies on internal resources to perform the time-consuming task. So the data configuration on its network will be done automatically via Roambot, and the same for the inbound testing. And also, we see that as a somehow an opportunity for Roambot because the other side will see, oh, this operator is very fast. Data implementation has been done very quickly, and IRAC testing has been done very quickly. So we also see it as a publicity for Roambot, and hopefully expanding the community of operators adopting a Roambot.
Yeah, it's certainly something I can see the benefits here, clearly both sides. And I think the question is around whether a single operator could utilize it without their roaming partner having it, because we all know that these mobile operator infrastructures move at different speeds, right? It's a feeling that, you know, I can take an innovative approach, but I either need everybody on board or I'm doing it in isolation, which doesn't necessarily help. So with this in mind, what is next for Roambot? Where could it go from here? And how can we get people involved in looking at that?
Following on from Genesis, I mean, we got great feedback in Genesis to the solution. And after that, we engaged with a few operators to get their opinions, to see how they could progress it forward. And then we were invited to I.O. as well, where again, we got very good feedback and a lot more engagement. Where we are now, we want this to be open. We want it to be global. We don't want this to be something that's very much by this magic box of Celsius and everything works. We know that won't scale. We need it to be open and available to everybody. So we're taking a standards-based approach. The APIs that Charles mentioned, they have to be standardized. We have to know exactly what information is shared between two networks to enable IREG testing, TADIG testing, and service launch. And we need to map that information onto API calls. We need to understand the day-to-day flows or day-to-day work of IREG teams when they're setting up these tests. And again, everything that somebody does manually, we turn into an API call. We know every operator does more or less the same thing. So what we need is community input. We need the community to own this. We need them to define it. We need them to say, this is exactly what's needed. And then we'll build it. We'll build Roambot on them specifications. We'll enable end-to-end testing with their collaboration all the way to make sure it's fit for purpose. And how we go from there, I mean, for us, automation is a must for operators. It's just not viable to continue doing things the same way. People are too valuable a resource to be spending time doing repetitive tasks. Look around the world today, beyond telecoms, ChatGPT, which everyone loves talking about. That does a lot of boilerplate work for us today. It does work that I would not want my employees spending time doing. But still, with IREG testing, we do the same thing over and over. And I do think it's time that operators address the elephant in the room, catch up here, and the benefit is there for them. It's going to be a huge cost saving going forward. It's going to greatly improve efficiency and speed. And we would just look for them to engage, to get involved, to give their opinion, to tell us how they would like it to work and to work with the community to make it real.
I think it sounds like an excellent approach. And I think that we can already see some major operators and operator groups getting very excited about this. And I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, working closely with them, doing some project work with them to ascertain what is their requirement to make sure that it matches the requirement very, very carefully. I think that's definitely the right approach. And though we'll do everything we can to support you in making that happen. So yeah, I think it sounds like a very positive future for this, but I think, yeah, will require we keep on top of it and bring it to fruition, because it has certainly matched the requirement that was set out by Ordu in the hackathon at the beginning. I know they're very impressed with the solution. So what were your feelings when you received the awards in terms of, you know, the recognition, let's say, from the industry of what you've done?
It was a mix of pride and nostalgia, and I'll explain a little bit of both. I mean, definitely pride, because Celesis was again recognized as an innovator, and the roaming testing was not our forte, but we took a bold approach, as we like to do, and we decided that to present that solution, and it got recognized. And so not only by the award, but as we said, by the enthusiasm and the buzz around it during the genesis. And a bit of a personal level, some nostalgia, because in my experience, I've led a testing team. We were doing a roaming testing team. We were doing roaming testing for mobile operators in an outsourcing way. And we had optimized everything we could, but we did not automate as much as Roombot. But we had the idea. We knew that there was going to be the web, but we didn't have a platform such as the hackathon of Roku to present our ideas. So somehow for me, it was also a bit of a nostalgia and recognition from my past colleagues with the one I had the idea. But definitely those who did the work and presented it were the Celesis team, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, how we often don't have, let's say, time or focus to be spending on more creative ways of doing things. We're too busy firefighting our daily jobs, but it feels like this concept of a hackathon could be useful for other projects that we need to do. And would you recommend it to be part of such a hackathon to other potential participants?
Yeah, I would. And on that point, Jason, I think you are right that doing these things, it's not always the easiest thing to do on a day-to-day basis, but in the long term, it's the right thing to do. It's going to be a huge saving in the long term. Automation is always a big saving in the long term for anybody who invests. And I think the hackathon was a great opportunity to just step out of the day-to-day and actually take on a big challenge with a time limit, with a specific goal. It's something that's quite hard to justify doing normally. But with an award at the end from Rocco, we have to try. But I would definitely recommend people to get involved. I would say companies that want to get involved should consider stepping a bit outside their own comfort zone, not just sticking to their exact products or trying to match an existing product to the problem. Try and solve the problem with your own experience, with your own knowledge, with your own intelligence. And I would say from first principles, I think people can get a bit... You can start thinking, oh, this won't work because X, Y, or Z, because I know there's some difficulty here. I think that's the wrong way to approach it. I think you need to be ambitious when approaching it and just look at the problem, look at the optimum solution. Now, in the end, you know, we went for an ambitious approach because there's no point in taking a conservative approach, factoring in all the difficulties you may face. We're better off aiming for an ideal, and if the practicalities in making it real mean there's some compromise on that, that's fine. But we're better off starting with the most ambitious approach we can. And there's a quote that I kind of like that sort of sums up that approach, which was, it was Mark Twain, they did not know it was impossible, so they did it. I think being an outsider is actually a helpful thing. This is not the day-to-day for us. So we can just look at it purely from an engineering point of view. We don't know that it's not possible, so we develop something that will work. There's no major magic in the solution. It's APIs, it's collaboration. There's no magical AI box or anything that people can't grasp. It's all very achievable. And I'd say the same for anybody. Just don't get stuck on any previous experience. Just start from first principles, be ambitious, and try to build the best possible solution.
I mean, it's very commendable because you talk about there's no magic behind it, but I think what we've been lacking so much in our industry, I mean, I started in roaming 27 years ago, and I feel that we're using the same processes and the same systems we were using. Let's say the biggest transformation that happened in the operational side of roaming really came with email, because before then we were using fax to send documentation. And I'm kidding. It's not kidding. It's like for me, this is like magic because it's actually engaging with digital transformation, let's say, or digitalization of our working practices. And that's essential now. I think it's essential we do explore that. And for an engineer like yourself, I mean, it's not so amazing, but for the rest of the operators, I mean, I think they can recognize that we should be doing a lot more of this. And that's a very great thing to hear.
Well, I would agree, Jason. And the thing is, when I say it's not magic, is the nature of a hackathon, we've been completely open with how the solution works, how we propose it to work. So there's nothing in there that anyone could tell me cannot be done. It's technically straightforward, right? There's cooperation needed, there's moving parts, but there's nothing there that can't be done. And nobody could point to a technical challenge that cannot be overcome. So really, it's just an industry willingness, you know, if they're willing to engage, willing to kind of work to make this real, then it will work. There's no technical barrier. It's not hard. It's just cooperation, industry cooperation. So a lot of it is people rather than technology that needs to drive this.
In terms of innovation culture, right? I mean, as I said at the beginning, you were one of, Solisys were one of the first companies who appeared in our innovation research, the top provider. According to mobile operators, they said you're innovative. That was back in 2016. And you continue to be there. It's evident that you have an innovation culture, or you have a way of looking at things which is different. And you also have a diverse team who can bring different strengths and skills to doing that. But it's like, you often hear companies talk about spending a certain amount of time doing research and development. Is that something that you guys do? How do you deal with innovation? Do you think, okay, Fridays I'm going to explore a new direction, or how does it work?
For us, I think it's more ingrained than, let's say, a prescribed, we innovate on Friday. Not really. It's more ingrained in the way we do business on a day-to-day basis. You mentioned the diversity of our teams. That's a real strength when it comes to innovation. People have different experiences. And more than what I described here, us being somewhat outside the day-to-day on this hackathon, I think it's part of the reason we can come up with a very viable solution. We're not in any way scarred by knowledge of things that failed in the past or things that failed us before. We just look at it from a clean point of view. And the same idea when you have a diverse team. We have people with experience in telecoms. We have people straight out of college. They all bring something different. And I think the point really is to really embrace all opinions and all perspectives. Question everything. Just because something worked for the last 10 years doesn't mean it's still going to work. There are no sacred cows. Anything can go. No product is safe. No approach is safe. You have to question everything. And then even at the product level, we've evolved our products in a way to make them, flexibility is a really big part of it. And we're trying to enable innovation for the user as well, where they have a problem on their network and using our tools, they have the flexibility to solve it themselves in a creative way, in a way we couldn't even imagine. So for us, everything is about enabling innovation, both from an organizational point of view and even from a product development point of view.
So with all this in mind, the company structure, everything you said, what's next for, let's say, for Solisys? We know Roambot is going to get more visibility. We know you're going to take it forward, but any more ideas for the future?
For us, Roambot was an interesting thing to come up when it did, because while we weren't so much looking at the testing phase necessarily, automation is a huge focus for us on all of our products. We just know it's a trend that's there that, as I said earlier, people are too valuable to waste time on repetitive tasks. So for us, automation is a huge topic. So we're looking, especially in the roaming space, how do we kind of combine our analytics and roaming solutions so that we can automate work? You know, stop having an engineer figure out why someone's roaming service is bad and then taking action. We want to automatically figure out and recognize there's a problem in roaming. Let's take an action automatically to solve the problem before the user complains, before I have an engineer investigate it. So automation is a huge focus for us. That's like strategically what we want for all of our products is to be automation focused. And then obviously the other things, you know, like 5G is coming as well. We need to adapt to that. There's going to be a lot of new opportunities and we're well suited to take on the challenge. You probably know yourself, 5G roaming, there's a lot of conversation still going on about how this will work in the end. And for us, we're well positioned because everything is about flexibility. So it doesn't matter in the end what the industry decides. We're going to be ready to go and we're going to be ready to serve whatever need comes up. So that focus on flexibility is something that kind of keeps us in the game no matter what happens.
Yeah, it's so exciting, the industry right now, with the emergence of the 5G standalone network, the possibilities of network slicing, the possibilities of quality of service differentiation, you know, the types of devices which are going to be on this networks. And yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think the flexibility of companies to evolve. And I think also to have in mind, especially what you guys have this view on digital transformation and how to evolve the company, you really do need to be in all of the possibilities of how it could go. And I think, yeah, well said. I think we'll definitely be calling on you because next year, of course, we will have another hackathon. I'm not sure what the requirement will be yet, but we're definitely going to be doing that and repeating that process again.
We'll surely be back.
Indeed. So guys, it's been a real pleasure to chat with you. I look forward to seeing you at future events and of course, helping wherever we can to take forward these great solutions that you've been working on.
Much appreciated, Jason. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles. Thanks, Daniel. Speak to you very soon. All the best.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Eureka. We hope you enjoyed learning about how companies face innovation opportunities. If you're hungry for more, we've got a whole series of episodes lined up for you. Remember to give your feedback on LinkedIn, and don't forget, your feedback fuels our mission to keep you at the forefront of the telecoms innovation. If you want to contribute to the Innovators 2024, the registration period is now open. Just email hq@rocco.group to find out more. Registration closes on the 22nd of December. On the 22nd of November, we also start registering teams for the Roaming and Messaging Hackathons 2024. This year, the challenges will be revealed on the 22nd of Jan. If you remember last year, it was a great opportunity to demonstrate how your team has the capability to respond to challenges raised by mobile operators and enterprises in our industry. Important to note, nominations for Rocco 100 are also currently open and close on November the 6th. Don't forget to recognize someone you admire who has made a difference in the last 2 years. Until next time, stay wired, stay inspired, and keep the conversations flowing. This is Jason Bryan signing off. Many thanks for listening to Rocco Radio.